It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2, WQAM, driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com. Now, here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Joe Zagacki, Don Bailey Jr., with you, hour number two. The Hurricane Hotline brought to you by Williamson Cadillac, Miami's premier luxury dealership.
You look good in that Cadillac, by the way, Joseph.
I enjoy that Cadillac. And
I do, listen, too.
You go at Ed Williamson, you are going to receive outstanding treatment, but that Cadillac is nice. It's nice for after the game also. We would let the parking lot empty out, and we just kind of take a deep breath after a game.
That's correct.
Right?
Enjoy ourselves.
Yep. All right, joining us right now, University of Miami sophomore safety Amari Carter. He's going to be a great player. Played the other day against FIU as a starter. He's played a lot since day one. Amari is joining us right now. Amari, welcome to the show. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you for being with us. Well, you were the kind of the captain back there last week. Well, you were a captain. And you also, not only were you the captain, but in the secondary, you took over for Jaquan Johnson as the starter. What was that like for you?
It was a great opportunity, to get some reps under my belt and just, see how everything plays out from back there, from the beginning of the game to the end of the game.
What's it like being in a Manny Diaz defense? Let's start with Manny and then go to your position coach. And what does Manny expect from you every single day of practice and every single play in a game?
Right. He expects us to be the same person, just be consistent to who we are. He doesn't, he doesn't ever ask of anything, that's not in our nature. He just wants us to come out there, give everything we have every day, make the plays that he has for us, take advantage of everything, that he gives us and that the offense gives us, and just be able to capitalize off of everything. The type of defense, I would say, that he has us playing, it's an aggressive defense. We want to, get after the person with the ball and just get after the offense every play we can.
Amari, Coach Diaz said, I think it was during training camp, he said, Amari Carter is a big hitter. And he said, we sometimes have to tell him that not every play has to be a Charlie Brown. So I have two questions for you. One is about your physical play. How much do you enjoy that? And two, do you know who Charlie Brown is or was?
Charlie Brown. No, I'm not 100% sure on Charlie Brown.
Don't worry, Mari. I don't know who it is either.
Charlie Brown was a cartoon.
A cartoon character.
Yeah.
And, with Lucy.
Lucy. Yeah. And Linus. She pulled the ball away when he tried to field goal kick, and he would always go down, Charlie Brown. He would fall over. So, hence the Charlie Brown, because you knock people over.
Yeah, I guess just from, where I'm from Rivera Beach. And that was, a pride thing, how hard you can hit. So, when you're on defense, on that side of the ball, even on offense, you just wanted to get that big hit. And I guess throughout the years I've been playing football, it just carried on. And I just took more and more pride into it through high school and now in college. is something that I pride myself off of too. But another thing is, you know, the big hits, you know, is great and everything, but you want to be that playmaker. So that's what Coach Diaz challenged me to do. And it starts in practice, you know, just getting your hands on the ball. And then it's going to, you know, eventually it's going to come in a game. So, you know, that's what I've really been working on.
Talk about the influence that Jaquan Johnson and Sheldrick Redwine have had on you as a player.
Mm-hmm. Well, first, I would say it's just not, you know, an influence on the football player I am, but it's also an influence on, you know, the person that I'm becoming. You know, when you're in the locker room with people that that you can look up to, and, you know, people that's going to steer you in the right direction, they affect how you are off the field as well. And I think that's a big thing. You could be a great football player, but you're only going to go so far in football, you know, as far as, you know, the type of person you are. But with football, you know, they're great people that I can look up to. I can go to them, you know, with questions. They always help me out with things that, you know, I need help on. And they're just good. I would say they're brothers. I would say they treat me as, you know, their little brother. And it's just good to be other people, you know, that you can rely on.
Got a big one this week. Jaquan may or may not be able to go, but this is a pretty talented receiving core that you're going to see from North Carolina. What do you remember about them from last year's game?
I remember, you know, some trick plays.
All the trick plays, right? Yeah.
Yeah, the trick plays. At the end of the day, you know, the team we have, we're gonna win the games, but, you know, we only beat ourselves, you know. And I'm not taking any credit away from anyone else, but that's really how our team is. You know, we come out and play a good game, then, you know, we should expect to win every game. And again, I'm not, you know, discrediting their team. But they, just like everyone else, you know, they have guys, and we have guys, we have a team. And we're just going to go out and, you know, play Hurricane football.
Amari, you face Nakosi Perry every day for the last 2 years, and also Malik Rozier. Describe both of them to us from your side of the football. Let's start with Malik. What does Malik do to a defense?
Well, just with Malik's growth, he's grown a lot. I remember when I first got here, first got to Miami, it was things, you know, Malik, you know, just like everyone, you know, everyone has to work on something. And Malik knew what that was. He came and, you know, every day he worked at it. So, you know, Malik is a great passer. He's a, you know, a great quarterback. And just like everyone else, you know, he's going to have things, you know, that you got to work on. You know, everyone that steps on the field, you know, come every day to work on what they have to get better at.
I think our audience can tell, Amari, you're a very thoughtful young man. And 2 weeks ago, you had a death in the family. So you made the decision you were going to do the eulogy at the funeral, I believe, correct?
So but I didn't do the eulogy, but I was present at my grandmother's funeral,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah, and so we thought, though, it was a very noble thing for you, and it had to be tough for you to be away from your teammates, but
yeah,
you were with your family.
No, my grandmother, she has always been there, you know, for me. You know, since I've been on this earth, you know, it's my mother and my grandmother, you know. So, you know, she's very, very, very dear to me. You know, that's like one of my, you know, she is one of the closest people, you know, that I've ever had in my life. You know, that's someone, you know, that can never be replaced. And I know the type of person she was. You know, she was a very strong person, probably the strongest person I've ever met. And I know I had to be there for my family. And right after that, you know, I already knew what she would be saying. You know, she would be saying, I'll go back and do what you have to do down in Miami. So, you know, it's times, you know, where you feel down, But I just know the type of person my grandmother was, and it just motivates me, you know, to help out the team in any way, shape, or form that I can.
People talk about the University of Miami, and you just used the word team, but there's also a lot of family involved at UM, isn't there?
Yeah, that's we pride ourselves big on, you know, not just being teammates, but being family. And then outside of football, you know, you have people that you see every day. You know, it's not Miami isn't, you know, a humongous school. You see people that you see every day. You all be start to become not just, you know, people that run into each other, bump into each other every other day, but you start to build relationships that you I don't think you really build at a lot of other schools. So that's a big pride thing with us. You know, we're not just a school, we're a family.
Yeah, that's how you guys end every practice, right? That's the 3-2-1 family.
Right.
Or 1-2-3 family.
Yep.
Right. Amari Carter is our guest. Amari, doing a great job at the University of Miami. I think you're going to look really good, and maybe it'll happen on Thursday with the turnover chain.
Dang, sounds like a plan to me.
What do you think about the new turnover chain?
Oh, I love it. a little bit more bling. It's a little heavier. But, yeah, our coaches, that's a really nice incentive for, you know, what goes on the field. So, props up to them.
You excited about being at the Hard Rock for a night game and in black uniforms?
Yeah, I can't wait. I know our fans are going to come out, you know, and celebrate with us every single play on that field. We have an amazing fan base. You know, fans come out every single game and give it all they got, and all we can do is, you know, return the favor that they give us every week.
Well, you've done a great job on this show. Anybody listening to this would say, man, I'm going to root for that kid no matter what. And we appreciate you being on the show, and best of luck here on Thursday night.
All right. Thank you for having me.
All right. Take care. That's
have a good evening.
That's Amari Carter, safety Amari Carter, joining us. And what a great kid, right?
Well, there's a lot of reasons to be a fan, right? One of them is you root for UM. The other is you root for the coaches. But I do not root for all these kids, right?
I think one of the things you find out when they come on the show, you can see Coach Rick's vision of what he's building here, right?
Yeah. He got a little excited today about that.
Yeah. But the quality of player, quality Correct. Of person that he's bringing in. And here's a kid who was faced with a tough decision 2 weeks ago. His grandmother passes away, mm-hmm. and in his family, it was his mom and his grandma. Right. And so his responsibility was to his mother and his grandmother. It's hard for him to be away from his football family. But he makes this decision, and you could hear what she meant to him. And, you know, sometimes I want to be a Pollyanna, but we forget because they have these helmets on. They look like, you know, these great warriors. They're 18, 19 years old.
You can't forget that. That's what you can't
and this
forget.
This kid, so, you know, I'm from Riviera Beach, and he's trying to make them proud. We're known for our big hitting.
You know, you bring that up today, and today I was in a meeting. We got done down at UM, and I went into one of the position meetings, and I was
we were at UM before the sun was up.
And they were coming out, and somebody asked DJ Scaife, how old are you? And he said, 18. And it like dawned on me. This is 18. He's brand new. Right. He's 18 years on this earth, and he's a freshman.
What's happened to the game is it's getting younger because they're going out quicker. In every sport, NBA, NFL, it's all getting younger. All right, when we come back, we've got another great kid lined up for you, another great speaker. Lawrence Cager will join us next year on the hotline on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
Radio.com. This is Hurricane Hotline on AM 560 and 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com. Now, back to Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Kings, Joe Zagacki.
All right, welcome back to the show. I'm Joe Zagacki, Don Bailey Jr. Spoke to Lawrence Cager a little bit off the field today, and Lawrence Cager joining us on the show right now. Had two touchdown receptions the other day. I think that's now four for the season, and so becoming a touchdown machine here. And Lawrence is with us here on the hotline. Lawrence, good evening. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you for being with us. Well, you had a heck of a game the other day against FIU, a couple of touchdowns. Take us through the touchdowns. The first one, Nicosi put it right on you, and then the second one, you got in behind everybody, and he lofted a nice one in for you.
Yeah, well, the first one was a simple slant route off of cover three coverage. We knew they were adjusting to cover three in the game, so coach called a simple slant route backside, and I just took it the rest of the way off a great ball by Nicosi. The second one was actually a scramble play, a busted play. Kosi scrambled to the right, and instead of taking off and, you know, trying to get some yards on his legs, he looked down the field as I cut up field, and it was an easy touchdown, pitch and catch.
Lawrence, let's talk about Coach Dugans and what he requires a starting receiver for the University of Miami to do. What's number one thing that he asked you to do on top of the list?
Block.
People won't believe it, right? Thank you for saying that. It's that. I mean, really, if you're going to start for UM, you got to block, don't you?
Oh yeah, Coach. Going into spring, Coach Rick, Coach TB, Coach Thomas Brown, and Coach Dugans really said, if you don't block, you're not going to play football for the University of Miami. So you better get the blocking.
Is it hard for the young guys to learn that, or no?
You know, coming from high school to college, the first couple days in camp is a little rough as far as blocking, because, you know, especially when you're backside on a run play, it's just like, all right, I could just jog off, but then you go in meetings and coach calls it a loaf, and you're jogging. So it gets on them a couple days, but then they get used to it. So now it's in their DNA.
How do you think, Lawrence, you've improved over the last year and a half? Because I think – you know, you can really see some significant progress in your game.
Yes, well, when I first got here, I really was just a deep threat, jump ball kind of guy, just go up and get it. You know, and when Coach Dugans came in here, he told me from the first day, I need you to be more of a guy than that, because you're capable of doing that. So him just teaching me how to run certain routes and use my quickness for my height to my advantage, and I've been doing that since I got back healthy, and it's all on film now.
How good does it feel to play big? I know they always said Lawrence needs to play big, and you are playing big. It feels good to bully those defensive backs around a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that's what that's your God-given talent. Got to use your God-given talent, and just really what comes natural to you. Like I said, me trying to go out my way to try to be as quick as like Jeff, I can't do that as much. And I just mess with him sometimes because I feel like I could just cut his legs off at midnight and put him on mine. But, playing to your side, that's your own advantage. And it's great to play big.
That it is. Speaking of Jeff, he's off to a great start. He's made some spectacular catches, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah, some spectacular catches. I think the one in Toledo is one of the best catches, hardest catches to make as a receiver. I think him and Amon did his freshman year a similar catch at Pitt down the sideline, over the shoulder, falling away from the ball. He's making some unbelievable catches, some unbelievable plays, and we know he's been able to do that because we've been seeing it practice day in and day out. So it was just a matter of his time.
Mike Hartley was a leading receiver on Saturday. Every time he caught the ball, it was his own celebration. He was as jacked up as I've seen, and he is another. He's also deserves a big pat on the back for what a great job he does blocking every day, whether it's in practice or in a game.
Oh yeah, Mike loves football, and you can tell the moment he steps on the field, he goes after whether it's blocking, whether the ball is coming to him, whether it's going to somebody else. He goes after it. He goes hard. He goes 100% each and every play. And that's what all you can ask out for as a receiver. And when his opportunity comes to him, he takes advantage of it, and that's all you can ask for.
All right, so let me ask you this, away from football for a moment. I'm told that baseball was your first love. You were a switch hitter in high school?
Yeah, I was a switch hitter, center fielder.
How about that?
Big Joe. See, Joe here. Lawrence is a big baseball guy. So now you guys can spend some time talking about his favorite sport too.
Oh, listen, I could talk baseball all day. My favorite, player is the kid. That's my favorite player. That's who I try to model my game after was the kid, Ken Griffey.
Who was your team?
I did play shortstop for a little bit. Yeah, my team's the Yankees, though.
Oh, there you go. Man. There you go.
you'd be Cal Ripken at shortstop. You remember Cal? Now Cal Ripken was 6'5", 6'4".
I didn't know he was that tall.
Cal was big. Yeah, Cal was big in Baltimore. Yeah, he was. You know, I really wasn't. I knew I wasn't a center field shortstop, and I knew I was a center fielder when you know, some of my ground balls throw to first base was a little erratic, and I knew I'd be a better center fielder.
Could you hit?
Could you hit?
I love that. I think that was my strength. I want to say, so the last game of the season that I played before my junior year, it was a 4-game stretch to go in the playoffs. In 4 games, I hit 11 home runs.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Yeah, you should have gone over to the baseball team and, you know, walked on or volunteered for a little bit of the season.
My dad used to throw that in my ear a little bit, but it was just a matter of, you know, I got hurt so early in my career here. Yeah. It was just that, I just never got around to it. I'd still go to the batting cage, though. I have my own bats. I got my bats down here. I go to the batting cage, you know, just to get my mind off the game sometimes.
Well, I'm only kidding about the going over to baseball. I don't want Coach Rick to get mad at me. But wiffle ball, we could play wiffle ball one day. You ever play wiffle ball?
Yeah. Oh, I used to love wiffle ball.
He's good.
You know, the indoor facility would be great for the wiffle ball game.
It teaches eye discipline.
That's correct. Yeah.
Eye discipline. That's why I really
enjoy it. Yeah, because the ball dances all over the place.
Speaking of discipline, let's talk about some of these freshman receivers. Give us the update on Hightower. How's he doing? Let us know about the other guys. How are they coming along, and what's the future like?
Oh, they're progressing well, especially Hightower. Coming in, you know, LSU game when I had a little tweak, and he came in and caught a touchdown immediately. And that just shows that he's ready to play. And whenever his number's called, he's been making the play that he has. So I think – as far as receivers, we've been proud of them, and coaching staff has been proud of them. I know Pope, Ezra, Wiggins, and Joku, those guys, they're competing. And that's all you can ask for. Coach Duke, all you ask for is, even if you mess up, just go 100%. And that's what they've been doing. Even if they mess up next play, let's just go 100% each play. And that's what we've been stressing. That's what they've been doing. So it's just a matter of when they get in the game, we know they're going to make the best of their opportunities.
Bryce Harper is our guest here tonight. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Lawrence Cager. How about this weekend, or rather Thursday night, North Carolina, the challenge? This is a very experienced secondary. All these guys have been there a long time, and it looks like you're probably going to have to play through some contact.
Yeah, they're a good, bunch of guys, experienced guys, like you said. You know, and guys that know how to play the DB position, but they like to get physical. And, you know, that's what we expect in the ACC. We don't expect nothing to be easy. And, like you said, we played these guys last year, most of the secondary. So we know going in how they play, and it's just a matter of who wants it more.
When you decided to come to University of Miami, what was the number one thing that led you to the U?
I'll say the number one thing that led me to the U was the weather.
Good idea.
If I'm just being honest.
Because you're from Maryland, correct?
Yeah.
You tired of those winters? No more winters.
Oh, I hated playing in the snow. I hated it.
Well, now you're getting playing, and you're playing a lot in the sunshine. You're going to break out the black uniforms on Thursday night. Maybe tell our audience how important you think their support is, especially for this first ACC game.
Oh, man, their support is big, and I think they know it. With the last two big home games we had, when Notre Dame and Virginia Tech, how that atmosphere just really just sucked the life out of teams when, you know, whenever we made a big play. I know, especially when Trajan had the pick six, and Redwine sealed the game. Like, it just takes the life out of the team. And when you can get that six man with that 12th man in the crowd, it's a great thing.
Coach Richt has not said yet, and Nicosi did play the other day. He hasn't said which direction he's going to go in terms of the starting quarterback. If it is Nicosi, would you have any advice for him in terms of making his first start? You probably remember your first start, and starting might be a little bit different than coming in the game, coming in off the bench, or coming into the third or fourth series. And as I said, Coach hasn't said which way he's going yet, but if he goes that direction, what might you say to Nicosi? Anything?
Just take a deep breath. That first play, you're going to get to it. Once you get the first play under your belt, it's just like practice. You just treat it just like practice, like you've been practicing every day, because you practice the same plays that coach is going to call every day, all day. So once you get that first play under your belt, it's smooth sailing. Just trust your teaching, trust your technique, and we're just going to be ready to ride, and I know he will be.
All right, very good. You are the defending Coastal Division champion, so there's a little bit of pride here as well, right, to defend that crown.
Oh yes, it's a lot of pride. We gotta win it back, and we have that ACC championship game on our mind that, you know, we really got embarrassed that we've been having that date that game on our calendars for a long time. We just ready to get back at it, ready to win this Coastal, and ready to go to the ACC championship again.
All right, well, we're looking forward to watching you play. We're especially looking forward to watching you play big.
Wingspan.
Yes, sir.
All right. Maybe we'll play two-man ball one day. Ever play two-man ball? Baseball game. It's two guys, you play two-on-two. You pitch to your own.
I haven't.
Yeah.
So, Lawrence, real quick.
Heard. Wait.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Lawrence, I heard Josh Darrow interview you for the pregame show last week, and you said that your high school called you Larry. Is that correct?
Yes, my whole high school and all my close friends call me Larry.
So let me ask you this: if you would have made it in baseball, is Lawrence or Larry a better baseball name?
That's actually a good question.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, a lot of my baseball team called me Larry too. So it was I don't know. I just think it just came, and then it was just like it's too late to stop it now because everybody in the world in Baltimore calls me it. So it's just like, oh well.
Well, you know, you can't. It's hard to chant Lawrence. You can chant Larry. It's easier to chant a Larry than a Lawrence.
Yeah, you can. That is true. I think that's the reason why people call me Larry is because Lawrence is too long.
Yeah.
Like I said, a couple baseball people call me, but in baseball, they really call me LC.
Oh, there you go.
I'll give you a third option. You know, I don't know.
They either call me LC or LC3 because I'm the third, so they used to say that all the time.
Okay. All right. So in the broadcast, we might sneak in an LC. I like that one. The Larry.
Could you mind if I sneak in a Larry in the broadcast?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Only you, though.
Only me, though. Okay, that's fair. That's fair enough. And it'll be on a big play, so don't worry about it.
Okay. Yeah, LC was a funny name because it's not funny. It's a good nickname, but I used to love when they called it because, in middle school, you used to rotate pitch and everybody pitched. So when I used to go up there and they used to say LC's pitching, opposing teams used to think that used to stand for a laser cannon.
There you go. There you go. Now we're getting to the bottom of this baseball career.
All right, very good. All right, well, we look forward to it on Thursday. You've been a great guest. Thanks for being with us.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay, that's Lawrence LC Larry Cager. Right. Mike Harley is coming up next here on the Hurricane Hotline on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
Radio.com. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com. Now, back to Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Canes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, our final guest on the show is wide receiver Mike Harley, who had a whale of a game the other day. It's his first appearance on the show, Don, so that'd be very – he probably was on with Larry Bluestein when he was being recruited. But
I'm sure I saw Mike today coming off the practice field. He was getting interviewed today out there as well.
All right, Mike Harley is with us. Good evening, Mike. How are you?
Hey, how you guys doing? I'm doing fine.
Very good. Thanks for being with us. How about the ball game you had the other day against FI? You had almost as many catches in that game as you had all of last year. You had a year's worth of production in one game.
Yeah, that's true. It was just an opportunity. I took advantage of it.
Hey, Mike, I have to tell you, I know this isn't probably exactly what you want to hear, but I appreciate the way that you block and the way that you hustle more than any pass you can catch.
Hey, this is what you do without the ball. And, I mean, you're a wide receiver at University of Miami, so everyone know you can run routes and catch the ball and run. You're not a selfish player. Well, I'm not a selfish player, so, you know, I'm just trying to help the team out win in any, like, predicament or whatever.
Coach Rick bragged on you a little bit today. He said that last week that you pulled the team up and you told the team that they weren't practicing the way that they should and at the intensity level that they should, and that he really appreciated that, and that's why you're one of his captains.
Yes, sir. It was just time just to step up. I didn't care if I was a sophomore or a senior. It was just time to step up, let the guys know we got to pick it up, because we was playing Savannah State last week, right? Yeah, we were playing Savannah State, so it really didn't matter who's the opponent. We just never know, because, you know, it's college football, and we're a great team, and we just got to stay consistent and just keep it rolling no matter who's on schedule.
Mike Harley is our guest, and Mike's going to play a significant role on Thursday night. But before we get to all of that, we got to get to something else that's almost as important, Mike. What happened to your guys at St. Thomas? Central ran them out in the fourth quarter.
I don't know. You know, I have a game this week, Thursday. I was going to come down and watch them play Friday and have a talk with them. But, you know, I don't know what happened. I was just looking on Twitter, just hoping that, you know, we keep the lead. But I just seen Central pull away. But I know Coach Harris is going to get them guys right, because there's more games to be played. They still have a playoff. They still have a chance at state. So on to the next game.
You were heavily recruited by the University of Miami. I know West Virginia, you were recruited there. What ultimately led you to the U?
It was a family decision. Coach Rick, Coach Dugan, the coaching staff made me feel like home, the family atmosphere. I don't know. It was the Lord's decision, basically, and we followed it, and then that's how it worked out.
It's worked out pretty good, hasn't it?
It's a deep story. Yeah, it worked out pretty good. You know, I got a lot of burn playing time my freshman year. Sophomore year, coming in, making the best out of my opportunities and contributing with the team, working hard, trying to be a leader, a captain. And I just love what I'm doing for the University of Miami.
You know, the other thing you mentioned about staying home and playing, and I would think, and I can remember going to those St. Thomas games, watching the moms and dads. And there's nothing better than watching your own kid play. And so I would imagine, one, while you're at the University of Miami, it's easy maybe in the off season on a Friday to go home and be with your family. That's one, get some home cooking. And two, it's a pretty easy ride to Hard Rock Stadium to watch you play.
Yes, sir. Oh, that's a blessing. Like, in the off season, when I have a break or a bye week or whatever, you know, I train with a couple of NFL guys like Antonio Brown. I train with some fellow trainers that have been training me since I was a kid. So, you know, it's a family atmosphere around me. My parents, they have to drive that far, only 15 minutes away. And my whole family can come to the game, you know. Sometimes I go home, get a home-cooked meal if I don't feel like eating the dining hall food. So it all works out for me. It's great.
How many of the guys do you take with you when you go home?
The most I took home with me, it was probably like two or three. It was Kosey and Jeff, our freshman year. And Derek and Trajan came my last year birthday, my mom cooked for me. So me and the guys drove down like 35, 40 minutes away to get some great food and some cake and stuff like that.
Okay, what's the best thing on the menu when you go home? What's the thing you want?
Hey, that's crazy because every time I come home, my mom asks me, I'll probably say, ooh, she probably listening right now.
Yeah, I'm sure she is listening. I know she's listening.
I mean, my mom can cook. I'll probably say the chicken Alfredo,
okay,
pasta, and probably some fried chicken, some rice, cornbread, macaroni and cheese. So I hope she's listening so she can cook this Friday when I come down, or probably tomorrow before we head to the hotel.
Save me some of that cornbread.
I hope she's listening, too, because Don and I want to know, how do we get an invite?
Yeah, I'm a cornbread guy.
Oh, yeah, she whips it up, man. She whips it. That lady do her job.
Ooh, I love the chicken.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, let's be honest, Mike. Joe here is a big dessert guy.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If she's got to have a dessert to go with a meal like that, doesn't she?
Yes, if we beg her, you know, she have a lot going on. My dad have a lot going on. So, you know, when it's cooking time, she always the last to eat. So dessert is kind of hard to come by unless we beg her or buy. But I'd probably say, you know, sweet potato pie, something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think my sisters make the best dessert.
Okay.
All right. My mom.
Either way, we're coming to your house. I don't know when, but we're coming to your house. Let's talk about Carolina for a moment. You've only really had one or two practices on Carolina. You saw them last year. Basically, a lot of the same faces on defense as last season. And so they will present you a challenging defense, won't they?
Oh, yes, sir. No doubt. Every team that we faced last year, I feel like they have a revenge. You know, they have us highlighted on the schedule to come out and dominate us. Last year, I sprung my ankle a week before that game. I missed out on that one.
Yeah.
So it's still good to be back to play against them.
What is it like going against the secondary that you face every day in practice in Miami? It's got to make a game a lot easier.
Man, I respect everyone that's on the schedule or whoever we're going to run against in the future, but when I go against Trajan, Romeo, Derek, everybody. It's the hardest thing. And then when Saturday hits or Thursday, whenever we play, it's like I won't say it's a breeze, but it's like a breeze because we face some dogs in practice. So, you know, we come to the field and be like, okay, we seem better. Now let's dominate.
You, speaking of practice, you go against, I imagine you see Al Blades here every now and then, so you're going against former teammates and stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's my boy since high school. And, I was, you know, I helped Blades a lot in high school, you know, with my speed. So I was helping him cover the speed he got. But now he's more physical and stuff like that. So I'm learning how to beat physical guys like him. And I'm teaching him how to cover quick guys like that in the slot. So it all works out. That's my boy.
Well, we've established here tonight, your mom listens, your sisters listen, Coach Harriet listens, and I imagine Coach Smith, George Smith, probably listening in as well.
Hey, Coach Smith, how you doing? I miss you. I didn't talk to him in a long time.
He's probably a pretty good influence on you also, right?
Oh, yeah, great influence. I love my family back St. Thomas. Can never forget about them.
All right, very good. Have a great game on Thursday. We look forward to seeing you catch a lot of passes again and catch them and run like the wind.
Oh, yes, sir. Coach Dugan definitely told me to trust my speed, so that's what I'll be doing.
All right, very good. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, you guys have a blessed one. Appreciate all right. You.
Thank you. That's Mike Harley, wide receiver. What a show. What Coach Richt was in a great mood.
Yeah.
Right? And then we had these three characters, Amari Carter,
Larry.
Larry, LC the third. LC3 and Mike Harley. Yeah, had three really, really good guests.
Cameron Gorby set us up again.
Cameron Gorby hit this one out of the ballpark.
Yeah, he did.
That's a communications director that knows his players.
That he does. He does.
And then it's great. It's great that they're able to show the audience their personality.
Oh, yeah. What great kids.
Right.
What great kids.
So We look forward to it. You had three people right there that you can really root for on Thursday night.
There's no question. No matter what, matter what color the uniform is, even if it's white on white or black on black, like they're wearing, I'm excited about the uniform, Joe.
You're going to be Johnny Cash on.
Johnny Cash
and black pants.
I was black on black for the reunion on Friday night. I wanted to see how it went over.
Played out.
That played out real good. So I'll be Johnny Cashing it on Thursday night. I like the black on black.
I like the black uniforms.
Yeah,
I might wear a black shirt.
Why don't you go black on black?
You know, I wore the black shirt, the black pullover thing Coach Rick had last year for Florida State. So it made me very superstitious. Which you would not find surprising.
Yeah. I wish I could remember what I wore yesterday.
All right. Stay tuned. Larry Bluestein's coming up next. We'll talk to you on Thursday night from Hard Rock Stadium from Miami and North Carolina here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.